about verse number 5. I started on Wednesday night, but I thought the Lord telling me to do something a little bit different for Sunday school. We will do verse number 5 sometime. Going to look at verse number 6 in the morning service this morning, at least a portion of it, as we've been looking through Psalms 23, and I've enjoyed that study. I hope you have. A number of people have enjoyed it. There is no PowerPoint. There's no outlines today because it was the last minute that we changed the message, so we just didn't prepare something for that. But there is the verse I want you to think about. If you were here Wednesday night, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies," speaks about how God is able to provide for us even in the midst, in the presence of our enemies. And it's an amazing thing that God can make a provision there. And we think about usually when you're at battle and usually you're at war, that when they have a meal, they had to do it quickly. They had to eat it fast. They're kind of rushing it down. But you get the idea that God has provided and placed a table. When we looked at the idea of the table in the wilderness that the Israelites were wondering whether or not God could do. And we talked the difference about the faith that David has as letting the Lord be a shepherd and saying, you know what, God can provide a table even in the midst of my enemies. And then over here we've seen the nation of Israel saying, can God provide a table in the wilderness, even though they had already done all those things. "Thou anointest my head with oil." And that's what we're going to look at the next time when we get to it. It's talking about how the shepherd anointed the head of the sheep, and we're going to go over that later on. But that last phrase, "my cup runneth over," is something that God's been working a little bit on my heart and my mind about our Christian lives and how we should live in the overflow. And how if God is working in your heart and you're meditating on the Word of God, you have something to share with people because there's an overflowing of God working in your heart and an overflowing of working in your mind. You're not supposed to be just some type of Christian that's just there and as a robot. No, your Christian life is supposed to be exciting. It's supposed to be victorious. It's supposed to be something that as God speaks to your heart, then that's an overflow. It's sort of like we're not just supposed to have peace. We're supposed to have the peace that passes all understanding. We're not only just supposed to have joy, we're supposed to have joy that we may be full of joy. There's a difference there, and there's "my cup runneth over" gets the idea that not only do we have what we need, but it's David is saying as a shepherd, that as a sheep, looking at the shepherd he has, his joy and his cup is overflowing. And that's where our Christian life is supposed to be. That is one of overflow. Reading and studying, and I've been going through the book of Genesis a little bit, and God spoke to my heart when I was doing the devotions in Genesis, and Genesis chapter number 4 about the great story. So my lesson and message is something I got from my devotions this week. It's kind of like the overflow I was talking about a little bit. So let's look, and you say, what verse? We're going to look at the whole chapter. So we're going to read through it. It's a long chapter, Genesis chapter number 24, and it's a great story. It's a story about Abraham finding a wife wanting to find a wife for Isaac. And, you know, that's a tough thing. You know, back in Bible times, you know, sometimes the parents did that or was a part of finding that. Nowadays, that's not the way it works. I bet you some of us probably wish we could pick our mate, but in all reality, we don't know who's going to be the right person or not the right person. That is God's responsibility and God's job to figure that out. And hopefully your young person's at a spot where they can clearly hear what God desires for their life. And plus, you get the idea here, when you look at this, God is interested in who you marry. God is interested in who you marry. You're not just supposed to marry anybody. You see the provision that is done here. And so I see confidence. The confidence that Abraham has, the confidence that the servant has, and the confidence that Rebecca has, all throughout this passage of Scripture. And that's where we're getting from Psalms 23, is the confidence we can have in God. David saying, as a sheep looking at the shepherd, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I'm confident God's going to provide everything I need. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." And we looked at the fact there's certain things that have to happen to make the sheep contented and happy enough and feel comfortable enough to lie down, because they're not an animal that finds rest easy, but we can find rest. "He leaves me beside the still water." And we talk about all those things, the confidence that David had. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," he says, "I will fear no evil." Why? It's because he has confidence in the shepherd. And as I was reading through this chapter, I saw those three characters. And as I looked at those three characters, I see the confidence they have in God. And it encouraged me to have confidence in him. It encouraged me to have more faith in him. It encouraged for me to believe that God is able to do the impossible. We all say that, but these people actually act like it. They respond to that. And I'm wondering, in our lives, are we responding to the confidence we have in God? Are we responding to the faith that we say we have? Now, I know there is a saving faith and there's a sustaining faith. There is a faith and trust you put in Jesus Christ to save you from your sins. But after that, it's faith that's built upon faith that's built upon faith. And as you grow in that faith, you'll see God allowing you or encouraging you to take steps you never thought you would ever have taken. And that's what happens. You see Abraham, it says in verse number 1, chapter 24 of Genesis. And Abram was old. The Bible's just pure and honest about that. You know, nobody likes really to be called old, but Abram was old. And well stricken in age. And then it says the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And I think it was back 5 years ago, we went through the book of Genesis and we looked at the faith, the journey of faith that Abraham went through, and how as he trusted God, God was able to bless him. And he was blessed. He was wealthy. He was rich, according to man's eyes. It says, Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. Now, we do not know the servant's name. I think that's kind of interesting there because of the fact that we know he's introduced back in chapter number 14 or 15 as the guy that is Eliezer. But if he's still alive, that's the person that's the head of the house. And he says to him, he says, I want you to put thy hand under thy thigh. And that shows that Abraham trusted him. That's the way they dealt with him. They didn't have people put their hand on the Bible and say, you know, I'm going to swear to tell the truth. It doesn't matter if you put your hand on your Bible or not. You know, if a person's going to lie, usually they're going to lie and they're not going to care what God thinks anyway. But when they're saying they put the hand underneath their thigh, a thigh is you're putting yourself in a very submissive spot that's there. And he trusts the man. He's giving him instruction. He says, I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son or the daughter of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. So Abraham was called out of the land of Ur, the Ur of Chaldees, the Mesopotamia area, and he was brought to this section where the Canaanites was. But God had promised him that he was going to own the land someday. But when he saw all the idolatry, when he saw all the way that they raised their girls and they raised their family, he says, I don't want Isaac to take a wife from here. I want to go back to my home area and have him get a wife from back there. And this is something God lays upon his heart, obviously, because of how sincere he is and how focused he is. And he says, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Preventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? Now, here's why I want you to see Abraham's confidence in God's provision. Abraham is confident. He knows for sure he does not want Isaac to marry somebody from the Canaanite women. This guy asks a normal question. And look, I'm an old guy. I'm going to some other's house. And I'm going to ask this young girl to come marry my master's servant. You know, not many of us would say, sure, take my daughter. I mean, it's something that's very peculiar, something that is not normal. And he says, look, if it doesn't work out, can I come back and get Isaac? And he says, no, I do not want you to get Isaac. But look at the confidence that Abraham has and that God has put this upon his heart. And he says, in verse number 6, And Abraham said unto him, Beware thou that thou bring not my son hither again. He said, do not do that. I do not want my son to go there. Verse number 7, The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and for the land of my kindred, which spake unto me and sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give the land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. So Abraham's so confident that he says, God's going to provide it. God's going to send the angel ahead of time. And look what it says in verse number 8. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. Look at the confidence he has in God. He's saying, God's going to send this angel. God's going to provide the way. God's going to lead you. And if he does not do what I know God's going to do, guess what? You don't have to worry about it anymore. You can be set clean. You can be set free from this oath. No longer will I hold you accountable. He said, just don't take my son there. He knew that his son didn't need to go there. And don't you see the confidence there? He's saying, I know God. God spoke in my heart. I know what God wants to do. I know what God's trying to do. He's going to provide my needs. He is going to send his angel ahead of time to do this unusual, very difficult task. And upon that, if God doesn't do it, then you don't have to worry about it anymore. Now, does that mean Abraham is demanding something from God? I don't think we should ever demand things from God. I think we can pray to God. We can pray without ceasing to God. We can pray with passion and with compassion. And I think God spoke in Abraham's heart here. But I know that what Abraham is saying is, hey, I know God's not going to allow Isaac to get married to a Canaanite woman. That is not God's will. That is not God's plan. And I'm telling you to go because I believe this is God's will and this is God's plan. And God will provide and God will take care of things. And if God doesn't take care of things, I do not want you trying to figure it out on your own. You're clear from it. You're done with it. And you say, how does this apply to our lives? Well, sometimes we may not always understand what we're supposed to do. I don't know if you've ever been there. I'm there all the time. You know, okay, what's the next step? When you're dealing with things in your life, and you're like, okay, you got this one person saying one thing, the other person saying another thing. What are you supposed to do? You lend yourself to God. Let the Lord lead you. You let the Lord guide to you. And sometimes I say, just get as close to God as you can and be as personal and reading your Bible and praying and speaking to him. God wants to bless you. God wants to use you. And then let God lead you and guide you in what you're supposed to do next in that situation. There's a right thing and there's a wrong thing. God has a will here, just like he had for Isaac. But oftentimes, that's not the issue. Oftentimes, we know exactly what we're supposed to be doing. We just don't have the confidence to do it. Oftentimes, we know exactly what we should be doing, but we just do not have the confidence that God will provide for us to do it. We lack that confidence. We lack that faith that God will provide. We look for other ways of making it happen. And that's what the servant's saying. Okay, I hear you, Abraham. You can see him up there, and he's kneeling down. He's got his hand underneath the thigh. I hear what you're saying, Abraham, and he's an older man. But you know what? God might not provide that way. If God doesn't provide that way, can I take Isaac? Because, you know, Isaac probably was a good-looking guy. He was, you know, in the least, he was rich. And, you know, if I bring Isaac with me, I'm sure he's going to have plenty of women to choose from. But when you're saying Isaac is miles and miles away and that they had to leave their homeland to go marry a man they'd never seen, that's something that's really strange. I guess this is the first internet dating type thing that happened here. Somebody you never met, you end up getting married anyway. So it's interesting when you think about it that he was trying to figure out a different way. But Abraham was, he knew what he was doing. He knew that God was going to provide. In your life, there's something God said he's going to provide for you, but you're not willing to allow him to do it. Is there someone thing that you do not have the confidence and the faith to believe that God will step in and that God will do and God will continue to do? He said, Abraham looked at him and said, I don't know if God had revealed this to him or not, but he said, you know what? God's just going to send an angel and God's just going to make it work out. He's saying God's going to take care of that. And I don't know about you, but that this week encouraged me and things that I know I got to do what's right. I guess got to have the confidence that God's going to take care. God's going to provide. And if he does not provide the way I think he's going to, there's no way I'm going to do something wrong. There's no way I'm going to let my kid marry a Canaanite. There's no way. And he knew that's what God did not want. And he says, I know I'm not going to let that happen. So don't you dare take him where I know God doesn't want him. And don't you dare take him and bring him a woman that I know God's not going to want for him. God will provide. And so in your life today, I want you to remember that. And God, that God will provide. You can have confidence in him. And you see Abraham here, an older man. He says he was old. He was well stricken in age. He was very old. And I think the next chapter is when he actually dies and goes off the scene. And that's how old he was. Like 130-some years old, I believe. Let's keep on going. Abraham's faith encourages the servant to have faith also. Look what it says in verse number 9. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning that matter. And it says, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. So the servant doesn't know what the plan that he's taking. Obviously, there's other servants that are there that's under him. You're going to see that in a little while, that's going to be riding these camels. It's not very much fun to ride a camel, but back then I'm sure it was something that was their mode of transportation. And you see, why would they take so many? Well, if they find a woman, many times she will have a nurse or she'll have damsels that will come along with them. So he is having faith here to bring the camels with the thought that God's going to provide and God's going to have, we had to give them a way to come back and also to help with the other servants here. And it says, for all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time when women go out to draw water. And you see back here in Bible times that ladies were known for the being the ones that would water and pull out the water from the wells, and they were known for actually watering the animals while the men did other things. It wasn't that the men were being lazy, but that was part of their responsibility that's here. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham. And it's interesting, you see who he's praying, you're asking who he's beseeching on God's behalf. He's talking, it's his master Abraham. He's not saying, O Lord, my God. He's saying, my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. So this is a relationship that God is talking to Abraham, and Abraham is asking him to do something, but the servant realizes this is not his doing. This is Abraham. He is just being the one going. He says, behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down the pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. So here's you see Abraham's confidence in God's provision, and you see the servant's confidence in God's ability. He takes enough camels. Then you see him asking something as very specific. He says, God, this is what I want you to do for Abraham. He's not even asking for himself. He's saying, show your kindness to Abraham. He says, make sure I know the right lady. Because, you know, if he's there and he just tries to pick out the right girl, what's he going to do? He's probably going to look for the girl that's the prettiest, or maybe the girl that's the wealthiest, or the girl. But he's only going to see her for a few hours or a few days. He's not going to know that. And that's why we got to teach our kids about and marriage, and that you're never going to know who that guy is going to end up being like, or who that girl is going to end up being like. Only God knows what that person's going to be like 10 years down the road. Seek God's face before you get married. Let God lead and direct in that. And that's exactly what happens here. He says, when somebody comes, he said, I want to be able to go to them and ask that lady for a drink. And then after I get a drink from that lady, I want her to volunteer to water all my camels. Which is a little interesting because they weren't that lady's camels. So the work that would have been involved would have been quite a bit of work, because camels are known for taking in a lot of water. And so he says, this is the way I want you to show me, and I want you to tell me that this is the right woman. Once again, because of Abraham's wealth, there had probably been a lot of ladies that wouldn't have minded being Isaac's wife. And so see what happened. It says, and it came to pass before he had done speaking, so even as he was talking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Machal, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair, and that means that she was attractive to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher, and it came up. And look at this next phrase. And the servant ran to meet her. Well, here's the thing is, do we believe that God will supply our needs? The Bible says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We believe that. But do we live that way? Abraham responds that way. The servant sees this girl. He's asked this girl. And it says he runs to her. And he is trying God or testing God. God, I've asked you to do this. Now, God, I am putting faith to my request, and I am going to ask this girl. Because if he had never gone to ask the girl for a drink of water, he would never be able to allow God to do the work that he wanted to do. He would, you say, Pastor, are you getting it? Well, what do we pray for sometimes? I mean, sometimes we get up there, and especially after missions conference, we think, I need to be a soul winner. I need to pray for souls. I need to pray that someone gets saved, and I need to pray that God uses me. So we pray and say, okay, God, help me win someone to Christ. Then we never talk to anybody. It's sort of like the servant saying, that first girl that I asked a drink of water, and she says, I can have a drink, and I'm going to go give water to your camels. If he didn't ask the girl wouldn't have came over on her own. That's not what the prayer was. And so we got to get this. Understand, God has the ability to do the things that we've asked, but we also must take steps of faith to accomplish those things that God wants us to accomplish in our lives and with our lives. There's something there. The servant sitting there, you said that would be foolish. Of course the servant has to go talk to the girl. Then how come we think that we can win people to Christ and never talk to them? How come we think that we can ask God to make us a better wife or a better husband or a better friend or a better whatever, but we never take any effort to take that step towards that direction? So many times, I want to be better at this. Hey, I want to know more about the Bible. Then I don't ever read it. I mean, what are we doing there? And then I want to memorize the scriptures. And then we put no effort forth towards it. So Abraham believed in God's provision. He had confidence in it. But this servant had the confidence in God's ability. He believed that God was able to allow a woman to give him a drink, but also be willing to volunteer to feed all the drink to all the camels too. He had confidence not only in God's provision, but God's ability. And he says, okay, God, this is what I'm asking you to do, and then I'm going to go do the things that are necessary to allow you to work and move. And I just thought about that, and I thought, how many times do we ask God to do this or that for me? I want to be a better prayer warrior, but we don't set time aside. I want to be better at studying the Bible, but we never open up the Word of God. I want to be a better soul winner, but I never talk to anybody. You know, that's what confidence is. We got to truly believe that God is able to use us to help someone. When I go knocking on doors sometimes, we went out yesterday knocking on doors, and I met some interesting characters, especially one person yesterday who was very, very interesting, and sometime we might talk about him a little bit. I never met somebody before that thought that Jesus never existed, and that's what he believes, that Jesus never existed. You know, all history, almost everybody I've ever met, they might have different opinions of Jesus, but this person thinks that Jesus was a made-up figure and has a bunch of propaganda. He's one of these conspiracy theory guys and this and that. And I was like, he says all history points. I mean, he's probably the most well-known, most read, and he says, none of it was true. But you know, when I go up, talk to somebody, I'm not going just because I'm supposed to do it and because I'm a pastor. That's the wrong thought. I want to make a difference in that person's life, and I believe that God can make a difference in that person's life, but if I never ever talk to someone, how in the world is God going to use me to make a difference? Now, can someone walk up to you out of the blue and say, hey, you're a Christian, I want to get saved? You know, someone else could have planted a seed and watered that, and sometimes, very rarely does that ever happen, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about our confidence that we have in God. Do we really truly believe that God can make us a better husband and make us a better wife, that we can truly be a student of the Word and we can be better, instead of hearing and saying, well, that's just not me, I can't change? That drives me crazy when people say that. That's just how I am, I can't change. Are you saved? Yes. Does the Holy Spirit of God live in you? Yes. So you're saying God can't. You don't have confidence in him then. If you're truly a child of God, there's nothing that's off the table except for the restrictions that God puts in his Word. He believes in his ability. And like we talked about on Wednesday night, the children of Israel, because they were saying, can God provide a table in the wilderness? They limited the Holy One of Israel, the Holy God. They limited him because of the fact they did not believe that he could. Even though God did so many other things in the past, even though they thought God could do all these things for everybody else, as a personal thing, do I truly believe that God can? That servant running over to that girl, looking foolish, can you give me a drink? And then, you know, why? It's because he believed that God had the ability to have a girl come up. And while he was speaking, so it wasn't like he sat around and waited. As he was talking, he saw this girl. He saw that she was attractive. That didn't matter. He says, I've asked God to do something. Now I'm going to go and do it. It's sort of like praying that God helps our kids with tests. You know, God, and that's when I pray. I say, help them remember the things that they studied. Because if they didn't study, they don't deserve a good grade. I mean, it's the same thing when I preach. Lord, help me remember the things that I studied, the things you laid upon my heart. And once again, God can help, and can God make answers come out of nowhere for students? He sure can. But that's not us having confidence in God. That's us believing that God's some type of genie that we need to just say, hey, God, can you help me with this? And sometimes that's what we have to do. But that's not the normal confidence that we're talking about here that he has. And that's what there is a confidence in God's ability. Let's keep on going and see how the story goes. I know some of you know how the story ends, but I want you to see about this. And you see how the response here. And it came to pass before he had done speaking that, behold, it's verse number 15, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Michal, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder, after the damsel, and the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. In verse 18, look at the response. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hastened and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. We do not know if Rebekah has seen all the camels yet. We do not know if Rebekah knows that there's a lot of wealth there. But we see and we consider that he had to run to her as the idea that she was just being kind. And look, and she says, and when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. A very generous thing. And she hasted. Doesn't say that she was lazy about it. She did it quickly. She hasted, emptied her pitcher into the trough, and ran again into the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And that was 10 of them. Look what it says in verse 21. It says, and the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. He's wondering at it. He's amazed by this. God's already answered his prayer. And this is the idea of living in the overflow. My cup runneth over. This guy here had just asked God. He followed Abraham. He listened to Abraham's instruction. I'm sure the devil was trying to tell him, no one's ever going to do this. Go find yourself a woman of the Canaanites. Wait and just let Abraham die. All those other things. The devil's trying to tell you not to have confidence, not to have faith. And he has done what God has asked him to do. He's gone to the promise. He's done his part. And he has just stepped back and he is just watching it happen. And he is wondering, has God made this prosperous? Has God made this happen? That this is a really awesome thing that God is doing. That's what I'm talking about by living in the overflow. Is that when God uses us and we see God use us and it calls it to be a blessing, and it's exciting. It's exciting to see God work. It's exciting to see God move. It's exciting when God speaks to our heart. It's exciting when God works in our lives and we're reading the Bible and it's just not something that is learning, but instead it's something that the Lord's teaching us. It's not something that's a book learning that you have knowledge personally of it, but instead God's done a work and move in your heart. And that man is just standing there. And can you see that man? He it's the first time while he was talking, he wasn't even finished speaking. And this woman came up and she gave him water and she offered the camels, and he's there and he is wondering. It is amazing when we wonder when God sees. He's excited to see the fact that God has answered his prayer, but he continues on. He wants to make sure. He acts upon his knowledge. Look, it says in verse 22. Came to pass as the camels had done drinking that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets and her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there a room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? So not only has he asked this woman to, she's fed his water his camels, she's like, can I come to your house and stay? And that's kind of a weird question, but once again, he's working off what God has led him to. And obviously there isn't anything wrong here that's being said. Verse 24, and she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Michal, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough, and make and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And I like this. He's there. He's worshiping the God. God's answered his questions. God's answered his ways. He's not saying, yeah, I had this good plan. That's not it at all. Verse 27, he's overwhelmed. And when you're living in the overflow, you're going to feel blessed to the point that all you can do is worship God. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who have not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, he was just doing the things that he was supposed to do, and being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And what a wonderful phrase. I being in the way, the Lord led me. just fantastic. I'm doing what God wants me to do because I'm confident that God can use me. And while I was just in the way, just doing the things he asked me, the Lord led me. And when the Lord led me to ask for a woman that was going to provide drink for me and drink for the camels, not only has he done that, he's done something more miraculous. He has brought home to Abraham's own house. What greater place that he could find the wife that Abraham would want from Isaac than even from inside his own family, which is what they did back then. I know we don't do that today. And it was from, you know, his brother's granddaughter is what it sounds like in the story that's here. Verse number 28, and the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. Tell the whole story. And he said, this is talking about Laban, and Laban's a guy who seems like he's interested in the possessions that they had. And he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. And the man came into the house, and he ungirdled his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And there were set meat before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, speak on. And then he tells him who he is. He says, and he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord have blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he have given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maidservants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. And he tells him the whole story. For sake of time, I don't think we're going to read all the way through the story just because he's going to be repeating how God worked out the things. Well, Rebekah is hearing this. And in verse number 45, he says, and before I have done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth. So he's telling the story of what just happened. Go down to verse number 47. And I asked her and said, whose daughter art thou? He's still repeating the story. In verse number 49, and now if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or left hand. So he's talking to the father and the brother, and he says, are you willing to let me have Rebekah? If not, let me know, and I'll turn to the right hand or left hand. I just need to know. In verse number 50, then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. God provided this, and God has answered this. God allowed this to happen. Now, since God says it's okay, we're not going to stand in the way of it. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass, when Abraham's servant heard their words, once again, what does he do? He's living in the overflow. God's answered a prayer. He worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. Notice he didn't do that until after they said it was okay. And gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her servant and to her mother's precious things. And they did eat and drink. And he and the men that were with him and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning. And he said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least ten. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they asked Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will. The other one you see was Abraham's confidence in God's provision. He believed God was going to provide a wife for Isaac. Second thing you see, the servant's confidence in God's ability. He believed that he could request something from God, and God would provide, and God provided it. Does it always work that way? No, not always. Once again, I said at the beginning, we're not making demands of God. We are allowing God to use us while in the way. He's obeying his servant, his master Abraham. He's following the leading of God. The Lord led me. So, and the third thing I want you to see here is Rebekah's confidence in God's leading. Rebecca's confidence in God's leading. Verse number 50, it was said by the father and also by the son, the brother here, you know what? God's done this. We cannot say good or bad about it. Saying, go ahead, do it. If this is God's, who am I to get in the way? And in verse number 58, the chance was asked her. I know it doesn't seem like in verse number 50 they were asking her, but in verse 58, it turns around and says, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. She believed in the leading of God. She saw God work, and as she saw God move, it didn't scare her. She trusted in him, and then they took her back. And after they took her back, she became Isaac's wife. And we know a lot about the story after that. And we know, say, Pastor, well, Isaac and Rebecca wasn't the greatest husband and wife. Well, you know, just because God brings somebody together sometimes doesn't mean that they're always going to do what's right. But you see that through Isaac and Rebecca, we see the nation of Israel, that Christ that comes through. And yeah, they had some issues, they had some problems, but they're also known for their faith and things like that that they've seen. But yeah, this moment, trust God's leading. She sees what's going on, and she says, I want to be a part of it. They ask her, will you go with this man? You know, he's saying he's not even willing to wait 10 days. He's saying that if you think it's God's will, don't hinder him. God's prospered the way that he wants to get going. Are you willing to do that? You don't see her trying to negotiate. Well, what about 5 days or 2 days? She just says, if it's God's will, I'm going to do it. And I wonder if in our own lives, if we would just learn to read the Word and read the Bible, and when God leads us to do something, if we'll do it. I don't know why God had me use this message this morning, but at the same time, as I was studying, that's what God brought upon my heart about having confidence. And as I was reading chapter 24 this past week, he led me to be more confident in the things of God. And I pray it was a hope to you and a help to you. The fact that Abraham, you know, he was confident in God's provision. He knew he didn't even have to go himself. He knew that Isaac wasn't supposed to go. He knew he could trust his servant to make one of the greatest decisions for his family. Remember how much he loved Isaac. Remember, through Isaac was going to come nations. We're not just talking about, you know, a lady here that's, you know, okay, late, and she's going to marry my son. No, he's been promised to be the father of what? Many nations. They're not even going to be able to number the people. She was going to be the mother of many nations. I mean, from her and from him was going to become this great nation. And through that nation was Jesus Christ was going to come. And, you know, this is important. But Abraham said, if God wants me to send my servant, God can provide. We got to remember, if God wants us to do something, God can provide. But also have confidence in God's ability. The servant probably thought Abraham was crazy. Ever talked to somebody when they were older and thought, man, they lost it a little bit. They don't know what they're talking about. And sometimes, you know, we happen. And sometimes when I deal with certain people, I'm like, well, are they being serious? Are they in their right mind? And I know someday I'm going to be there. And it seems like it gets closer and closer all the time. But he could have looked at Abraham and says, man, you're crazy. You know, Isaac's going to have to be. He doesn't do that. He doesn't question his master. He asks to show mercy to his master. He believes in God's ability. And he responds by going and speaking to the he sees. And God makes it all work out. What happened if he would have said, I'll just wait for the next girl. Or I'll just wait for the one I think is the prettiest. Or it can't be the first one. No. Don't question God's ability. He's able to do it. He's able. Don't sit there and say, well, that guy will never want the gospel. Or there's no hope for that guy. Or there's this. Or that. No. He is able to do those things. And in Rebecca, she was presented with this. Are you going to follow God's will for your life? What if she had said no? No? But she didn't. The question is, are we going to follow God's will for our lives? What if we say no? Hopefully we don't. God's got a plan. God's got a purpose, just like he did for Isaac, just like he did for Rebecca. And it's a cool story how they brought them together. And I tell you, it's one thing we need to impress upon our children is that allow God to be the one to bring the two of you together. God's able to do that. God's the one that knows what you need and who you need. God knows what that person's going to be like 10 years down the road. He's got a plan and a purpose. Allow him to have confidence in that. Just like Rebecca was confident in God's leading. She said, I will go. Hopefully we'll say the same thing as I will go. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer.